There's a hadith, and this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. Hazrat Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, and Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, both companions have narrated this hadith. It's a muttafaq alay hadith, it's an agreed hadith with regards to the subject, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. It is a very beneficial and a subject beyond compare. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that for a Muslim, for a believer, on Muslims, on the believers, always some sort of difficulty or problem or issue arises. Generally speaking, for everybody, it could be any sort of difficulty, it could be an illness, it could be a desire or a demand or a fikr, it could be a worry or a concern or any type of difficulty. To this extent that if on the body of a person, even if a thorn pricks a person and gives a little bit of pain, and this is a very small difficulty, then it is stated by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when the difficulty is experienced, that any type of experience is experienced, that due to that difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to that difficulty experienced, Allah ta'ala eliminates and forgives the sins of that person. Subhanallah. This is the hadith. And the subject of this hadith is this, that it is lazim, it is going to happen most definitely in the life of a person, that the conditions arise, the situations arise, that day comes, sometimes illness will come, a headache will come, or a problem will come, or a worry will come, thousands of illnesses and issues or concerns, and there are illnesses that have no cure, and there are problems that don't have a solution straight away, it's not visible. Many sort of obstacles are faced by a person in life, some can be small, some can be large, but we are human beings. And the basis of being a human being, that person cannot avoid these things, and nobody likes these things either. Naturally, who likes? Does anybody like that? Or I want to have a pain in my eye, or have an illness, or I don't want to sleep in the night, or I have some other problems or worries, or my business, it flops, or other news comes that's very shocking, or a concern arises, or a sadness suddenly comes in life. There are thousands of examples, and the Prophet of Allah ﷺ has mentioned this hadith, that this is life. Everything that we experience, ups and downs, are part of life, part and parcel of life. We need to just accept them. And nobody, as I said, likes to have issues, concerns. Nobody will feel to be ill or have a problem. No, all of us will want a smooth life, an easy life. But Rasulullah ﷺ said, and has explained to us here, that obviously we don't like problems, but we know that they will come for sure. We know. And we know that the sins that we commit, sins, if we start counting our sins, then maybe with every breath we have a sin. Our ibadah even today, nowadays, is alongside, attached to sin. We are drowning in sin. Drowning in sin. So then, we commit so many sins, and there are only two things that can wash the sins. Either we do tawbah, repent, honest tawbah, repent, Allah Ta'ala forgive our sins. But even then, if a person does tawbah and continues to commit the sins and wrong actions, then Allah Ta'ala's law is this, that Allah Ta'ala has made hell and paradise. And paradise is for that person who has no sins, who is pure and free from sins. Nobody can go to paradise with sins. So that person's sins will be burnt in hellfire first, washed, purified, and then such punishments, specific punishments for specific sins, Allah Ta'ala has shown to His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the sins that we commit in our lives, we don't consider them to be sins, we don't even know that we're sinning, but they are present and they are attached to our lives, to our bodies. And they, then when a person dies and passes away, then the sin goes with that person, transfers into the hereafter and takes him to hellfire, makes him get burnt or her get burnt in hellfire. And every sin, specific sin, will be luggage that will take us to hell and will cause us to be burnt. Is there any bigger problem than this? Tell me. that a person like me who's lazy, negligent, who says, oh, I'll do Tawbah today, or I'll repent tomorrow, or it's alright, I'll carry on sinning, I'm young still, I'm not going to die yet, and shaitan keeps on pushing me along, and I don't even have the tawfiq to go to do Tawbah and Nasuh. And just like Allah has mentioned in the Quran, the methodology of how to do Tawbah and Nasuh, so many people don't even get the tawfiq to do this. Think for a second. I'm not giving a speech here. I'm just presenting some words, a dialogue, a discussion. Islam, may Allah Ta'ala rectify us all, that the message we get from this, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we practice on this. This is the meaning of hadith. Hadith is a message from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the person who's giving this bayan or explaining the hadith is for this reason, that we can all share this message and save ourselves from the problems. The who can claim today that I don't have a sin? Yes, if I cannot claim today that I don't have sins to my name, then who is it that won't go into Jahannam? Tell me. Who is it? So this situation now, that a problem comes or a difficulty comes or this happens or that happens. So what is this? Why does this occur? Why do problems occur? And what is the solution? So when a problem comes to us in life, it's Allah Ta'ala who's giving us the problem. So what's our link with Allah? Let's think that there are millions of relatives that could come and millions of people come and who love us and have regard for us. But nobody can compare to the love that Allah Ta'ala has for us. Allah Ta'ala has such love for His servant that nobody can imagine the bond, the strength of that love. Nobody. So does Allah want to give us problem or pain or take away his sleep or give him a pain, give him an illness? Does Allah Ta'ala desire to give us problems? No. Rather, Allah Ta'ala wants more than any human being, that the person who is trapped in his sins and stuck in his sins, that these sins will burn him in Jahannam. And he's so foolish that from top to bottom, he's burning in hellfire at the moment. So Allah Ta'ala prepares for that person, that Allah Ta'ala then gives that person pain in the world, pain. And this pain, when it comes, this is included. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmah, wisdom is there. Allah ta'ala's wisdom is prevalent. Allah ta'ala says, consider this to me, my fadl and karam, my mercy and grace. Even if a big illness comes, cancer, stomach operation, or you have teeth pain, tooth pain. This is Allah's fadl, Allah's karam. We have to understand this. Allah ta'ala is saving us from a big, big adab, an alternate adab and punishment. Think this, that in the hereafter, on the day of Hashr, on the day of resurrection, after on the day of judgment, when a people go into paradise, then Allah Ta'ala will say to the people of paradise that your maqam, your home was not to be paradise in reality. The actions that you carried out in the world, oh Allah, where were we meant to be? Then Allah Ta'ala says, I'll show you. Look at the people who sinned and what punishment they're being given in hellfire. When the people will then see it, their eyes will explode. Allah, these are the punishments of hellfire, that the sins I used to commit in the world, and I didn't even think that these were sins. Does anybody think today that lying is a sin? Nobody thinks it's a sin. Does anybody consider backbiting as a sin? Nobody considers it a sin. We think it's just a minor, not even significant, not important, not even reality. Today, a sin for us is a good deed. We just laugh it off. Oh, it's the way of the world. It's the way that people are doing. Everyone's doing it. It's the new generation, modern society. What will people say? What will the dunya say? We haven't got a clue. Allah Ta'ala says, look here. I'll show you the punishments in hellfire whilst you're going into paradise. Tell me now. How did you come into paradise? Allah will say that, do you remember I gave you difficulties? I gave you illnesses. I gave you a disease. Do you remember that? And they'll say, no Allah, I can't even remember. But as soon as we see and smell a whiff of paradise, we'll forget the whole of the world and the life in this dunya. And I'll say, or you'll say, oh, I couldn't remember. Allah will say, I kept you ill for 10 years. You used to run to the doctor and I gave you such an illness that there was no cure. There was no cure. There was no diagnosis for your problems. And you were running around left and right like a headless chicken. And Allah say, do you know you used to consume interest? You used to have unlawful earnings, haram. And Allah will say, I'll show you the adab for that. And Allah will show the adab, the punishment for haram, earnings and wealth. And that person will scream whilst he's going into paradise seeing this punishment. Allah will say, I gave you the illness. But Allah Ta'ala says, I love you so much, I didn't want to send you to hellfire. And this illness made you very, very low. You used to run to doctors, you had no money, you used to take a loan, ask people for help, that I'm ill, and I'm not capable, and you used to persevere and have sabr and patience. Allah Ta'ala says the reward for this is that whilst you were ill, your sins were being removed from your body like dry leaves of an autumn tree. Allah says, if I didn't give you this illness, you would have arrived to me with all of your sins, and you would have had this maqam as Jahannam. So is this not Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam, O Muslims? Is this not the case? Allah Ta'ala says, Ma asab al-Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, whichever difficulty is experienced by a Muslim brother or sister, whatever problems, to this extent, the Holy Prophet ﷺ gave the example that even if a thorn pricks you, for example, I have flu, a cold, and I have to have an injection, then put your hand out, that subhanAllah, I'm getting ajr due to this illness. I'm getting a reward. Now, what is a pin? And a person, when he's pricked by a thorn or a pin, he goes, oh, like that. But imagine the amount of sins that a person is being forgiven for at that moment in time. Just experience this at any time in your life, any problem or difficulty. When you go, then consider Allah Ta'ala is giving me this problem because Allah Ta'ala loves me more than anyone else in the world. And Allah has given me this pain and difficulty. For example, if I have a problem, will people help me? Like you have a business problem or money, maybe I'll loan to you because I love you. But Allah Rabbul Kareem is saving me from that place that I cannot even imagine. Where Allah Ta'ala is saving me from. From pain and difficulties and issues and illnesses, diseases. Experiencing extreme pain. Now, for example, I've got problems and I've got worries at home, family life. I'm going to say, consider, feel in your heart, Alhamdulillah, this is your mercy to me. That the conditions that will come to me in my life, they are going to come. But you have said this via your Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that issues will come in the life. Problems will come in the life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you have a small problem, that Allah Ta'ala promises that due to that small problem, I will remove your sins. I will forgive your sins. And this experience of difficulty will compensate for your sins. It will become a kafara. So now our hearts have become so hard, that the feeling of iman in our hearts is diminished, it's gone. Look at the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum, despite the difficulties, as Umar radiyallahu anhu. And he was given the good news in this world that you are going to go to paradise. And not just paradise, but rather the palace for you that has been prepared already. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh Umar, I have gone to a paradise and seen already your palace. And it was such a beautiful palace. And I thought that maybe this is being prepared for me." My heart felt that I go inside it and look at this palace, this mansion. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu was being told that I felt, the Prophet ﷺ said, I felt that I want to go and wander around in this palace, such a beautiful palace. And then the angel said that, this is not your palace, O Rasulullah, this is the palace of your follower, of your companion. And Rasulullah said, whose palace? And they said, Umar's palace. And Rasulullah said, I wanted to go inside and look at Umar, but I felt shame that how can I go without your permission? Allahu Akbar. And what was his hal? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Such a big piece of good news. As Abu Musa Ashri radiallahu anhu, and he, as Umar went to him, this is Amirul Mu'mineen at the time that he was the Amir of the Muslimin, and he was in a bad situation, at a bad condition. And Hazrat Musa, Abu Musa Ashri said, Umar, why are you worried, distressed, your yellow complexion, pale complexion, you're trembling? And Hazrat Umar said, I don't know who to explain to the problem. He said, are you ill? He said, I've got a very unique illness, that I'm afraid of the sins. I don't know what's going to happen to me. And then he started to cry, and Hazrat Abu Musa Ashri radhiyallahu anhu became distressed himself. That he said that, Umar, you've been given good news about the hereafter. And Hazrat Umar, imagine his style and his method and way of thinking. He said, let me ask you a question. Give me an honest answer. Give me an honest answer, Abu Musa. That don't worry about me, that Umar Amir is asking a question. He said, no, Umar, ask me the question, I'll give you the answer. He said, Abu Musa, I'm thinking that the life we are living, that the life we lived with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we went on expeditions, we made effort, and we stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we did suffer, and we used to eat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I know that this is gold for us, it's gold for the hereafter for us. And Allah Ta'ala will give us the reward for this. But I have a fikr and a worry that the life after that, after Rasulullah SAW has departed, the life I've lived after that, that the time I've spent, the life that I'm spending now, that the time that I'm spending now, that there are sins in this time. And I don't know what sins Umar is earning and committing. Now what happens now? Imagine his style. He said, can it be like this now? That Abu Musa, you do dua for me. He's telling this sahabi. That you do dua for me, my companion. That, oh Allah, that time that was spent with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the time that I'm spending now, make it the same. Make it the same in equilibrium. So that the same rewards are attained. And Abu Musa said, oh Umar, what are you saying? That how can you compare to that time and now? How can you make this time the same? How can it be? But Hazrat Abu Musa Ashri radhiyallahu anhu gave him encouragement. So today, if we get such a big piece of news, we say, Alhamdulillah. That is this a small thing that in our life, yes, definitely problems will come. And if things happen in our life that are a problem for us, like I'm driving, I get a puncture, my tire's puncture, or my car doesn't start. Or I leave home and it starts to rain, and everything is against my desire. Then I say, Subhanallah, Allah, due to these difficulties, you are removing my difficulties. If you wanted, I wouldn't come out of the house now. I would have stayed at home, and it wouldn't have been raining, and I wouldn't have got wet. And I feel like today I want to go for a walk. I speak about myself. I feel like I want to go for a walk, and I get ready and about to depart. At that same time, it starts to downpour heavily, rain. And I'm stood there, ready. I've put my clothes on, total preparation. Then I say, oh, today it's not going to rain. And this is the cycle today. This is the weather forecast, that there's 30% chance of rain and 70% it won't rain. But look at Allah, Rabbul Kareem, Subhanallah. Now let's go through this hadith. I'm ready, I'm prepared, and I spend time, I come out of the house, I'm walking, and suddenly it starts to rain heavily. Now I feel sad, but suddenly think about this hadith, Subhanallah, my Mawla. Suddenly we realize, Allah, the weather's in your hands, control, that how much I have become wet and the rain has affected me. But look, imagine through that experience of difficulty, my sins are being forgiven. Look at the sins in the night, in the day, sins I've committed in the morning. I would have said something bad to somebody. I would have been sat down, backbited or lied. Allah, and you gave me a little bit of a bad experience. The rain came heavily and made me wet. And when I get this problem, then I should raise my hands and we say, shukr to Allah, your fadl, your karam, your raham, your mercy. You've done so good, Allah, that you have saved me from the affliction. Then after half an hour, the clouds split up, break up, and the sun comes down again and it's dry again. Allah Ta'ala says, go, carry on walking. So now your sins are forgiven and I've given you the ajr, that you experience the difficulty. So we need to create a ta'alluq, a connection with our Rabb in this way. Just like a friend. Like a friend, we should always be speaking to Allah, talking to Allah. And this is the meaning of dhikr, that always a person should have a link with who? With his Rabb, with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Not a minute in our life should we, as human beings, spend time away from thinking about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, remembering Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Whenever there's a problem, say, Subhanallah, MashaAllah, this is normal. Never think, oh, I'm ill. Oh, no, say, if you're ill, say, Allah, I deserve this. Allah, you are saving me from the punishments of hellfire, from where the Sahaba Karam were crying about punishment in hellfire. Allah has karam, He's given me so many sins that I don't even do tawbah. Even tawbah won't remove my sins, but Allah has given us a cure that He gives us problems in life that will wash away the sins. Now, there's a condition for this, though. There's a condition that we need to listen. Yes, to get the kafara, to get the compensation. In other words, to get problems and difficulties in life that will wipe away the sins, to forgive the sins, there's a condition that we have to fulfill. Now, what's that condition? Let's listen to that carefully. That there are obviously a condition for every reward. And there's a condition for this reward that Allah Ta'ala has placed down. And what is that condition? Sabr. Allah Ta'ala says sabr. What is this condition? Sabr. Patience. What is sabr? We can call it patience or waiting. For example, I'm ill. I say, oh, I'm ill. Oh, I've lost everything. What's happening? Why me? I've got problems. My problem. I've got a business to run. I had a contract to sign. I had to travel somewhere. Oh, we're complaining. Oh, look, this. I've got experience. I've got problems in my life and hurdles are coming. This shouldn't have happened. I had a good business and it's gone downhill. The income's gone down. This is not sabr, is it? Is this sugar? Oh, you've got stomach pain. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I've got such a hard pain in the stomach. Look, all these problems have come in my life. Oh, for example, he hasn't got problems. She hasn't got problems. I'm getting all the problems. Why me all the time? Why me? And I'm complaining and crying and complaining. And who am I complaining to? Who? To Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who has given me these problems. This is the reality. This is the reality. A person of iman, a person who has iman, that when he has iman and belief, everything is from Allah. And when you complain, when you have problems, you're complaining to Allah. Allah, why have you given me this problem? Why have you given me a stomach pain? Why have you changed my circumstances? Why have you given me a cold? Why have you given me a flu? This is what's going to happen. Why have you stopped this action? Allah, my business, my transactions, why are they delayed? Why are they getting late, etc.? This should have happened by now. Everyone else has succeeded. Why has this stopped for me? This doesn't happen for me. So this is not sabr. This is not patience. Allah Ta'ala says, this is not sabr. What happens due to this? What happens due to this? Allah Ta'ala says, then the flip side occurs. This is a sin. And another sin on top of your problems. Rather, that when you have issues, problems, difficulties, and you are demonstrating a lack of sabr, no patience. So on top of the problems you've got, on top of the sins you've got, and then you have no patience and you complain, then Allah Ta'ala says, I combine all of them, give you a more severe punishment. So be careful about this. Be careful. So what should we do when we're afflicted with difficulties? How do we observe sabr? Demonstrate sabr. What is sabr? Shall I explain to you? Will we do this? We will implement this. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Everyone has become an inhabitant of paradise. Everybody's got a tree in paradise. Every one of you. Everyone. Why? Because you've said Subhanallah. Now, if as Umar radiallahu anhu's mansion can be in paradise and he's going to paradise, then if we are told that due to saying Subhanallah, you get a tree in paradise, then we have no yakin. If we don't believe, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a sahih hadith, a believer, if he says Subhanallah, we cannot understand the reward of this kalima. Subhanallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is such a great kalima that if we recite Subhanallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives us the capability to say Subhanallah, from our lips. Once Allah Ta'ala grows a tree for us in paradise, say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, another tree. Subhanallah. So brothers, so here now is the cure. What is sabr? We need to have sabr. What is the meaning of sabr? Look, whenever an illness comes or a problem comes in life, for example, I'll give you the examples. What should we do? What should we do? We should do three actions. Three actions. First action number one, very important action, that Allah, we should understand straight away that this problem is coming from who? From Allah. I'm ill. Why? Allah's given me illness. Why is this person done magic on me? Allah Ta'ala ordered. That's why. Why did this person put a jinn overwhelming me? Allah Ta'ala ordered. Why did this person, why did this insect cut my feet or bite me? Because Allah Ta'ala ordered. Even a leaf cannot move. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, without Allah Ta'ala's permission. Nobody can do anything to you. Nobody can do black magic on you. No insect can cut you. Your wife cannot hit you. No one can say bad to you. Nobody can afflict you with any harm. Who does all of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this. Whatever problems we experience in life, everything is from Allah. So what should we do? Step number one, when we have issues, problems, hurdles, stomach pain, pain in the eye, or a thorn pricks in the feet, or you're going for an injection, there's going to be pain. Where do I go? I go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So step number one, whenever you have any problem in life, difficulty in life, the step number one of sabr is what? Dhikr Allah. Zikr Allah. Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Allah Ta'ala says, don't forget my remembrance. Don't forget me at any stage. Great prophets were reminded. Look, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam, great prophets of Allah, great prophets without any comparison, with no comparison. And where were they being sent on a mission to propagate the deen to the disbeliever of the time, Fir'aun, who said, I am the enemy of God. Look at his power and his standing. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam, they were being sent to Fir'aun. And he was a Nabi, a prophet of Allah. Can you imagine that a Nabi, a prophet of Allah, is he ever not remembering Allah? He's always remembering Allah. Obviously, he is a Nabi, the great prophet of Allah, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. When he was going, Allah Ta'ala prepared him, gave him instructions, and at the end Allah Ta'ala said, oh Musa, my final advice to you. Allah gave all the nasiha, and he said, the final nasiha, Musa, that where you're going, remember one point, don't forget my dhikr, don't forget to remember me. That may not be that you go there and you are trying to convince Fir'aun. May not be that at some stage you become negligent and lazy in remembering me. Don't let this occur. Rather give priority to my dhikr, oh Musa. So the biggest point here is the dhikr of Allah. And when such a feeling arises, then what should a person do? Do dhikr of Allah. When you are embarking on the journey of sabr, then first step number one is to do dhikr of Allah. Then shaitan will not give no whisper to you, you'll get no problem. The nafs won't influence you, shaitan won't influence you, because the dhikr of Allah will take all these evil things, influences away from you. And then when you start the dhikr of Allah, when you learn the dhikr of Allah in your heart, then it's very easy for you. All you have to do, even if you're ill, even if you're unconscious, that person can do dhikr of Allah in the heart. Even if you're taking a person on the stretcher to the doctor or to hospital in the ward. Many times people say to me when they have an operation, they're phoning from there. They're saying, I need to phone. The stretcher, they're in the trolley going into the operation theatre. They say, I need to make a phone call. Then they make a phone call. I need to phone my sheikh, my teacher. What? And then they phoned. I said, yes. And they say, oh, I'm going into the ward, into the theatre. They've made me unconscious. They're going to give me the anesthetic. What shall I do? And I say, do dhikr of Allah. And he says, okay, fine. And he does dhikr of Allah and goes into the operation theatre. These are those people of yaqeen and the dhikr of Allah. I'm telling you the honest truth. I don't want to tell you the name. MashaAllah. They are very famous people. You know these people very well, mashallah. And how great and good people they are. That they know that life is not guaranteed. I'm going to go into the operation theatre. They're going to make me unconscious with anesthetic. And maybe I won't come back out again. So let me speak to my sheikh, get the instruction and start dhikr of Allah. They have yaqeen on my words, that dhikr of Allah. The person who they know, they have yaqeen certainty that the person, his final words from his tongue, if they are the recitation of the name of Allah, then that person will go to paradise. So step number one for sabr is dhikr of Allah. The difficulties will come. They'll come now, in a few minutes, maybe in a few hours in the morning. So step number one is to do dhikr of Allah. Those who've learned dhikr, it's very easy for them. Those who've not done dhikr of Allah, learn dhikr of Allah, then they're going to sing. Are they? Sing songs. That's why I say, friends, do dhikr of Allah. Why are you ashamed? Why are you ashamed? Why are you ashamed of such a great name of Allah? I don't understand. I don't understand. So many verses of the Quran, 800 places, so many maqamat, Allah Ta'ala has announced the dhikr of Allah. And the hadith, there's no limit to the number of hadith. The Sufi Quran, there's no limit to the sayings, the teachings, and the learnings from the hadith about dhikr of Allah. And we still don't feel that our heart should do dhikr of Allah. What a big loss. So step number one for the journey of sabr is we need to learn dhikr. So we do dhikr when difficulties confront us. Number two, step number two for sabr is what? After doing dhikr of Allah, is to pay attention to Allah. So first we've done dhikr of Allah, then step number two is to be patient. This is sunnat-e-ilahi, sabr. to have patience. So for example, you have an illness, go to the doctor and take the cure, take the prescription, take the medicines. Now when you eat the medicine, then the medicine won't correct you. Who is going to correct us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to cure us, isn't it? Allah. So for example, you have an illness, you have your doctor, you go to hospital, you are attending the sessions, the clinics. But when you get the medicine, you know that Allah ta'ala, I'm having an illness and it's my sins that are being removed. You'll go easily and you won't be worried that I've got to get a cure. If you go to the doctor, doctor, what about the medicine? What if I die? Will I get a heart attack due to this? Will the blood pressure go high? Will I get an attack? Will I fall unconscious? No, you're not worried about this. You're going to the doctor that Allah ta'ala has ordered us. They use the means. The means won't help us. The means will assist us. But it's Allah ta'ala will cure us. So it's Allah ta'ala's order that I'm going to the doctor, to the hospital appointment. Allah's given me that nasiha. So this is what we do. And we go and we take the means that Allah ta'ala, and with ease you'll go to the doctor, to the appointments. You'll have illness, a fever. You'll sit in front of the doctor with ease. You won't be desperate. You won't be worried. Doesn't matter how much you'll have to wait, because you'll be speaking to the doctor. How are you, doctor? Sahab, you're right, fine. And you'll go there, see him, meet him, and come back home, because you'll have tawakkal Allah, that Allah ta'ala will give the cure, and more than half of the illness is removed just in that process. Then the third thing, which is the most important, so step number one was what? Say it loudly, dhikr Allah. Step number two, sabr. And the third thing is, so these three things, when you combine them, this is sabr, this is patience. If we don't have these three things, then everything is adab, what we've done. So first, that even the pain will become adab for us. Everything will be adab, and Allah will send us to a hellfire. So three things we have to implement whenever you have any difficulty. And I said, any difficulty. What is the definition of difficulty? Difficulty, anything that goes against our conscience and our desires. Like raining heavily when you're going for a walk. And the third step, and it's a very beautiful thing, is to raise your hands to Allah and say, Allah, I've got problems, difficulties, please correct these, remove these, help me, Allah, remove my sins and give me ease through my difficulties. And with the ease, pay attention to Allah and turn to Allah. That we don't have to become like a brave man, courage. Oh, let these problems come. Oh, let the headache come. I'm okay. I can ward this off. Rather become a human being. Be simple and humble and sincere and bow in front of Allah. Allah, I'm not capable to persevere through these difficulties. I cannot. How can I persevere these difficulties and bear these difficulties and go lie down in hospital? Allah, give me your karam and mercy, that wipe away my sins. Allah, give me sabr and remove this difficulty from my life. Allah will announce at that time, Allah announces to his angels that this servant of mine has become a sabir. First give him the reward of the hereafter, include him in the list of the sabirin. And what is the reward for the sabirin? The sabir will be those people who will go into paradise without any reckoning, without any accounting, without bighayri hisab. Allah says, read the verse of the Quran, read the hadith, without any accounting. And when they go into paradise, that they will go without any reckoning, and they will be going into paradise. And the angel will say, oh, where are you going? Where are you going? Your hisab kitab has not started today. You're counting. How can you come into paradise? They will ask at the door of paradise, and they will say, don't you know who we are? The angels say, who are you? They will say, we are the sabirin. And then the angels will salute them. Oh, you're the sabirin. Oh, good news for you. Quran mentioned. Come. Please, come in. What a great announcement, eh? What a great host. And how will we get the title of sabir? Through difficulty. So is difficulty bad, or is this the fadl of Allah? Now tell me. Do you understand now? All difficulties are good for us. Never say, oh, he's healthy, I'm unhealthy, he's not ill, I'm ill, he's got no problems, I've got problems. Don't ever complain in life. Never on the tip of your tongue, never in your heart. Rather think, subhanallah, you are so merciful, so graceful, that this person has got no difficulties, his sins are not being forgiven. And me, Allah, you've drowned me in the problems, and my sins are all being removed. All my problems are being removed. And then the third thing, you do dua. When you do dua to Allah, when you do these three steps, Allah says, you'll become my beloved servant, your sins will be removed, you will have sabr, the total reward for sabr. And on top of that, the duas you do, the difficulties that arrived into our life, Allah will give reward for those difficulties as well on top of that. So my brothers, all of us, we should do omal on this. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to do omal, because this is a common thing in life, to have difficulties and problems. Here, you're sat in front of me, everyone here, all of us will have difficulties in life. So let's start from now. First of all, let's learn dhikr of Allah. Let's remember Allah. Without that, there can be no success. So step number one on the path to tawbah, do dhikr of Allah, step number one. Then number two, have sabr. Go to the doctor, appointments, clinics, you're traveling, getting tired, time's being spent. Have sabr. But when we don't have sabr, we run hither, here, there. Please help me. And then we have sins. We utilize non-sharia methods then to solve our problem. Someone says, oh, a jinn has overwhelmed him, he's been possessed by jinn. And then we'll go to friends and we'll go to other people to try to remove the jinn. We should be very careful. Even if I pass away, this is the test for a human being. Never use non-sharia, non-Islamic methods to remove the problems. If you have illness, have sabr and go towards solutions and doctors, but do it within the boundary of sharia. Because our yaqeen should be this, that this problem is coming from Allah and our sins are being removed. So why do I go towards non-sharia actions or solutions to remove the problem? Always implement the solutions within the hudood, the boundary, the circle of sharia. This is a big test, beware. Never go towards the wrong. Never get scared and do non-sharia actions. Oh no, no, magic, someone's overpowered me, I'm possessed by a jinn, not black's jinn or yellow jinn, and it's my last night. And someone will say to me, are you going to die? Okay, fine, I accept that. What am I going to do? Dhikr of Allah and then do dua to Allah. Doesn't matter how ill I am, how many nights I haven't slept, I have to wake up. But why am I afraid and scared? Do I not see the ajr that I will get? The reward that I will get? Me and you. Let's think for a moment. That one sin of ours, that can I bear the fire of Jahannam? Tell me. Can I? Can I go into Jahannam for 1 second? Will I be able to persevere that? Will I be able to be thrown into hellfire and take that pain? So isn't this the great honor that Allah Ta'ala is keeping me awake today? I've got pain and problems and illness. And is this not the great reward of Allah? And then I do the dhikr of Allah and I have sabr. And then I do the sharia cure. I read Quran, read the hadith, take hold of the dhikr of Allah, go to good gatherings, majalis of dhikr, keep a friendship with the wali of Allah, sit in the majalis. What jinn, what possession? Nothing can affect me then. 2 verses of the Quran are enough for me. That Allah Ta'ala has given to us in the Quran. Why don't they affect us positively? Because our sins are there in our life. We don't do dhikr, we don't have sabr, we don't do tawbah, we don't repent, we don't do istighfar, our salah is not correct. We are drowning in our nafs, we follow our desires. Alhamdulillah, otherwise, surah, ayat al-kursi, the verse of the throne, if you recite the verse of the throne, then the whole village, town you're living in is protected by Allah. The whole town, the whole city, due to surah, ayat al-kursi. But we need that tongue to recite from. We need that body to recite from. We need that nafs to recite from. We never look at our problems, our sins. We leave the Quran and we go to such solutions where there are such weird actions. And those people, what solution do they have? Nothing. Black magic and exorcism. They can't do nothing to remove the problems. Ha! If you go to the Wali of Allah, the true Shaykh, and ask him to do dua for you and he writes a ta'weez for you, that's thousands of times better than those silly majalis and places. For example, if the Wali of Allah writes a ta'weez, the verse of the Quran, and you put that around your neck and consider this is Allah's kalam, that's thousands of times better than that place where people are not following sharia. Because if the wali of Allah is writing the verse of Allah Ta'ala's Quran, then it's Allah Ta'ala's barakah, the verse of the Quran that will give us the help. Allah Ta'ala says, it's me who will give you the help. Allah gives the solution. So don't, for example, when you have difficulties, try to think, oh, I've got problems, and run away from your problems. No, use the means that Allah Ta'ala gives. Don't use non-sharia means though. Yes, where sharia gives ijazah, permission, use the means, the tools, and that will be included in your actions of sabr to solve the problems. May Allah Ta'ala give me and all of you the tawfiq. Ameen.